Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. It's Waiver Wednesday today, and joining me on the show is Michael Jones, the waiver expert of FootballDiehards.com. Michael, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good, Skip. Waiver expert. Okay, I'll take that for now.
We'll go with waiver expert.
To be honest with you, I like to find the stories on the waiver wire. I sometimes will make a recommendation for sure, but I think the main thing that I try to do is just inform people about what's going on the waiver wire, and so that they can have some information about who's out there. Most people are pretty smart and can make decisions on, if they want a player, if they don't want a player, looking at some matchups. But a lot of times what I try to find are what are the interesting stories behind who is on the waiver wire.
So you're kind of like the guy they say who goes down at like a horse tracks and stuff and knows how based off of how a horse is eating or running if they're going to have a good day or something like that. You've got the story inside the story, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, an example I can give you is last year with Dominique Hixon. Kind of came out of nowhere, a kid that came out of nowhere. And we were able to kind of find out that he had a real strong military background. He grew up, his father was in the army, and he'd grown up in Germany and had gotten high marks throughout all his schools, had scored very well, with all the testing with the NFL Combine, and that he had taken the Akron Zips and taken their very first MAC championship by catching the winning touchdown to win the championship. And, you know, you saw a lot of really high character elements in this player, and unfortunately he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But it's those kind of things that I think that make for interesting stories about the players, and then you can kind of make decisions for yourself. And then also, you look at organizations like the Colts and the Giants and things like that, and you can kind of usually get a pretty good idea that these are good organizations that bring in good players, and that you can find some high-quality players from these organizations.
It's all about putting the pieces of the puzzle together from what I hear. I want to talk a little bit to get started off with a big week in football over the weekend. Chris Johnson is absolutely blowing up out of Tennessee. So Frank Gore had a really great day too, and Phillip Rivers and Matt Schaub also threw for really great games. Who out there really surprised you over the weekend?
Well, actually a player that is on the waiver wire report for this week, which was, I think, the biggest surprise for me, was Kevin Cobb. He had three interceptions, which were, kind of unfortunate. One was on the final play of the game, basically. But 391 yards and, a couple touchdowns and everything. Not a lot of people saw that coming from Kevin Cobb. And I think that, for me, he was probably the biggest surprise. But, that game, Matt Schaub throwing after that first game that he had against the Jets, I did not, without Kevin Walter, I did not expect him to have a super big game against Tennessee, but boy, did that Houston offense gave you everything you wanted and then some, and it was a great day to have a player named Johnson on your team in that game.
Yeah, back on Kevin Cobb, how much longer are we going to be able to see the production from him, though? I mean, is McNabb going to be healthy anytime soon? We also have Michael Vick eligible in week three now.
Absolutely, and as far as Michael Vick goes, he's going to be just in there for specialty plays, which will, I still have to see how that's going to end up working out. Don McNabb didn't really seem to jive with that so much when they were trying that in preseason. It seemed to kind of throw the team's rhythm off. But obviously McNabb will still be out, and they did bring in Jeff Garcia. Now, to me personally, I'm not quite sure what Andy Reid is trying to prove when you have a proven winner and a veteran who will take care of the football and make good decisions, like Jeff Garcia, who is a proven winner with that organization itself, to get Kevin Cobb, reps, for lack of a better word. But he did produce in his first outing, and they do need to see what they have in him going forward, because this is probably, getting to be McNabb's final season with the team. And so, looking forward, they've got Kansas City at home this week, and so I would sure like to think that they're going to give Kevin Cobb one more week to shine, and a pretty good matchup, I would have to say, for Kevin Cobb this week.
Byron Leftwich also had a really good day, throwing just over 50%, going 26 of 50, threw for three touchdowns, two picks. See, he's also on your waiver wire. What are your thoughts?
Well, the main thing that I see with, Byron Leftwich is that the amount of pass, that's one thing you try to look for when you're looking through these waiver wires, is who, where are the opportunities? Who is getting targets? Who is getting touches? Who is making pass attempts? And so you look at Byron Leftwich, and he's averaging 49.5 pass attempts a game, or 45.5 pass attempts a game. There's going to be a pretty good chance there's going to be some production in that. And so, you know, as opposed to picking up maybe a Sean Hill, who's maybe throwing the ball 20.5 times a game. So for me, if I have the choice between those two, I want to take the guy who's winging it around the ball yard a little bit. And so that's what I like about Byron Leftwich. You know, he doesn't have Antonio Bryant yet and has a tough matchup this weekend. He will be at home against the New York Giants. So that's going to be, not an easy matchup, but if you've got Donovan McNabb or somebody else, maybe a Matt Hasselbeck, who, you're not pretty iffy about them, and you're not going to be able to get Kevin Cobb maybe for this 1 week, and it looks like going forward, Byron Leftwich is throwing the ball, he's getting some production, averaging 288 yards per game. The only question there is, as I wrote, is that the Buccaneers do not look like a very good football team this year. And whether they get that turnaround with Raheem Morris at the helm is still to be seen. And you know that if they go 0-4, 0-5, 1-5, 1-6, it's going to be a big call. Let's find out what we have and let's start developing Josh Freeman for the future.
Jay DeLome also making an appearance on the waiver wire with Carolina. They got a Monday night matchup in Dallas. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you've been watching Dallas play the last 2 weeks, it's been really their secondary.
Having some issues with defense right now.
They really are, and I mean they are 30th in the league in pass yards allowed at 303 yards a game against the Buccaneers and the New York Giants, two teams that traditionally you would think would be running teams and balanced teams, and so you're getting that same kind of scenario coming up here with Carolina, a team that's traditionally kind of a run-first team to set up the pass. And, I really love to see Steve Smith this week. And I think that, it's kind of a hard play, but I think because DeLome has not been great. He was a little bit better this last week, didn't turn the ball over this past week. But, I think this is a matchup play. And I think Dallas is just not being able to stop anybody in the secondary. And so that's why I'm liking DeLome this week.
Very good. Well, I want to move on to some of the other skill positions, too. Seneca Wallace also is showing up on the waiver. You can check out the full waiver wire, too, at footballdiehards.com. But being as though it's a short program, I want to move on to some running backs, too. Who's your star running back on the wire this week?
Well, before I move on, I will get to the running back. The one thing that I did want to touch base on really quickly to finish off with the quarterbacks is just to keep an eye on that Arizona situation. Because Kurt Warner's been taking some really brutal hits there. Took another really bad hit from Donovan Darius this past week against Jacksonville, where he just got blasted from the backside, landed again on his right shoulder, and spent the rest of the game really throwing gingerly and sidearm, and did leave the game early. And so if you're a person that really kind of is looking to gamble and you didn't, really hit that home run maybe with the quarterback, and again, I'm kind of putting in a long-term stash for Matt Leinart at the quarterback position because I don't think Kurt Warner's healthy, and I think that by the fifth or sixth game, you may get a young quarterback who's got an amazing receiving core and who could put together a pretty strong, surprising season. So I just want to throw Matt Leinart out there really quickly because we didn't really get to talk about that last week. But for running backs coming up this week, the big news, I think, is pretty much in Dallas with Marion Barber III and his quad injury. Luckily, he got, for me personally, he went down on like the 5-yard line with a quad injury because if he'd gone in for a touchdown, I would have lost like three separate fantasy league games and ended up winning them all by less than 2 points. So I was not at all disturbed to see that happen. But as it is, one of my favorite players from last year, a guy who I loved coming out of Georgia Tech, is Tashaar Choice. Big, bruising back, runs with a lot of authority, runs downhill, always pushing the pile forward, great hands out of the backfield. And I had put him as a stash really before I'd heard about Marion Barber specifically being out, and it's still, even though it's up in the air for him this upcoming week as far as Barber goes, I think it's more, injury speak. They don't want to tip off the opposing team that Barber will be out, so they have to plan for Barber and everybody. I think that a choice is going to be given a chance to go up against Carolina this coming week. Carolina, their rushing attack, rushing defense is allowing 168 yards per game so far in the young season. So I think you got a lot of value there with Tashard Choice, and I think he's going to start. I think he's going to play this next week.
Yeah, there's a Dallas-Fort Worth station, KXAX, actually, who's reporting due to anonymous sources from the Cowboys that Marion Barber will be out 1 to 2 weeks. So Cowboys are still listing him as probable, or I think he may have been listed as questionable, but that will probably be a waiting game as well. Mike Bell, too, what are you thinking about him? I see he's on the waiver this week as well.
Well, Mike Bell was on the waiver wire last week. And I know he went in every single league. It's probably the top waiver, priority pickup last week. And so I was, one thing I kind of do is I like to follow up a little bit on what I talked about last week in my write-ups. And, I had a kind of a word of caution for Mike Bell that before you go out and spend every single one of your blind bucks on him, that he had gotten 28, carries the week before, and Pierre Thomas was going to be coming back here soon, and that that's a lot of wear and tear on a back like Mike Bell. And sure enough, the next game he comes up limping and lame with a sprained MCL, and even though he's saying he's going to try to play, I'm going to have to wait and see. I'm going to believe that when I see it, especially if they have Pierre Thomas come back. I don't see any reason they're going to need to rush Mike Bell back. But, again, he was gone in every single waiver pickup last week. And so for this week, it looks like probably the biggest name, Tashard Choice will be out there. There's not a lot of big running backs out there that are probably available on many waiver wires, but I think probably one of the hotter names out there will, after his performance against San Francisco, will be Justin Forsett. For Seattle, and he's going to be playing at home against Chicago this week, and so that's not an easy matchup, but a nice little kind of a scat back who runs with some power, great hands out of the backfield, was definitely a running back star at Cal, and so you have to wonder how much that was motivation, being a local Cal Berkeley product playing in San Francisco again, for his motivation for performing so well against San Francisco last week. But, you got Julius Jones there, who's, great shakes, and Edgerrin James, who obviously is just kind of taking up space as far as I can tell. And so it seems like Justin Forsett kind of will play that Darren Sproles type of role, come in and give the team a spark. And if Julius Jones isn't getting the job done, why not use a multidimensional knife like Justin Forsett?
Also, to you being a fan of the story, inside the story, I see Bernard Scott showing up, the 25-year-old rookie out of Abilene. He's had some issues he's overcome over the past couple of years. Talk a little bit about him and why he's on the wire this week.
Well, Bernard Scott was probably drafted in quite a few leagues, especially he was a very popular end game play, but he's still out there in a lot of leagues. And the reason that, I'm making a waiver call for him, to get him right now, if he is available and you can stash him, is because of just the tremendous workload that they're giving, Cedric Benson right now. The workload for Cedric Benson, he's on pace for 432 touches. And believe me, there's not a whole lot of catches in that. There's a lot of stuff that's going right up into the line, and he's going to take a lot of, hits. And, he's a tough guy. He's a good back. I love the story. I was totally a disbeliever in Cedric Benson. A lot of people have been laughing at Cedric Benson. But the fact of the matter is, he's putting up 140 yards against a pretty decent Green Bay backer defense. And he looked great in the preseason. He looked great at the end of last season. His yards per carry wasn't very good, but he also, had nobody at quarterback. So they, was playing at 9 in the box last year. So Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, I think the Cedric Benson's been a great success story. He's been a big reason the Bengals have come out and have looked pretty decent so far. This week, I don't recommend playing anybody against Pittsburgh's defense as far as running back goes, but Bernard Scott is, again, he's a stash, because I don't think Cedric Benson, at this rate of 27 touches a game, 432 touches for the season, that they're going to have to, I think Bernard Scott's going to get his chance, like Tashard Choice got his chance last year, to put up some decent numbers, and he's just a fantastic, exciting talent if you've ever seen him run.
Yeah, too, and a lot of these guys, too, like you say, are good pickups just to keep on your bench and just keep stashed. May not have the huge production in the next coming weeks, but maybe somewhere towards the middle or towards the end of the season, these may be the stars of these respective teams.
Sure. I mean, that was, I mean, look at Pierre Thomas. I mean, it's funny because you look at, you know, who the star running backs are usually in championship games, especially if you're in a Week 17 league, you know, but even in Week 16 championship leagues and Week 15, I mean, they're the guys that nobody even drafted. You know, they're, you know, these guys like Pierre Thomas or, you know, somebody like that, that, you know, that nobody even heard of really to begin the season. And they end up, you know, having to carry the load down the load because the NFL is such a punishing regimen, and these feature backs get the heck beat out of them that by the end of the season, 15 weeks of this punishment that these backs have to take, that somebody else has got to step in and carry the load for the rest of the way.
All right, I want to move on to the wide receiver position now, and a player who's been getting a lot of talk recently is Mario Manningham. I see he's on the wire still. I'm sure he's probably snagged up in about 99.9% of the leagues out there. What are we expecting to see from him in the future?
Well, you know, the main thing about, you know, Mario Manningham, you know, it's just, it's a pretty amazing story. I mean, I personally, after I saw what he did, you know, at the combine and everything, I wrote him off. He, you know, tested positive for marijuana and he'd had some run-ins with marijuana at college and stuff. And, you know, it seemed like he was just going to be an immature head case. He's kind of slight. You didn't really think he'd be able to stand up to the, you know, the violence of the NFL. But, you know, the fact is so far so good for him in this season. He was definitely someone that had created a lot of buzz in the OTAs and during the preseason, and thought that he was going to, you know, have to, you know, vie for a job with Dominic Hickson, and that a lot of people were looking at Hakeem Nicks as being the guy that was going to step in there. But, you know, talk about, you know, Wally Pipp, Lou Gehrig. I mean, Mario Manningham has come in and gotten the opportunity and has made every single play that has gone his way. And good for him. I mean, 13 targets last week, 10 catches, 150 yards, albeit against Dallas's defense, but that allowed, you know, I think Michael Clayton the week before to have a 100-yard game. So, you know, you have to take that for somewhat what it's worth, but Manningham is making big plays, and it was on, you know, national TV. and so he's obviously, if you had the kind of league where you could go in and pick up a player without having a waiver order at all, he's obviously gone. He went obviously probably right as the game was going on. But
yeah,
there's a lot of leagues out there that, you know, he might not have got picked up in the first week, and you do go by a waiver order, or you do go by a big bucks waiver pickup, and you know, a lot of people do not, you know, didn't know, were kind of on the fence about him last week. Obviously, no one's on the fence with him this week,
yeah.
So that's why he topped the list, and that's why I did say that this is a player. Couple players here that you won't see again on this list for the remainder of 2009, and Mario Manningham's definitely one of them.
Well, see, and as long as Manningham is making these big plays and really pushing his team forward, I mean, Hickson and Nicks aren't going to just walk back in and be the number one guy as long as Manningham is performing the way he is. Am I right?
You know, I would think so. You know, Nicks is a tremendous talent, and he's a, you know, he's a big play receiver if there ever was one. And Hickson is a, you know, he does a lot of the little things. He's a great blocker. If you notice that without Hickson in there, the running game has suffered. And Hickson is, you know, he's a guy that will just put his nose in there and does a lot of the little things that don't get in the, you know, box score, the kind of things that Tom Coughlin loves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll have to see how Manningham, you know, matures and keeps going. You know, this is New York City, and this is a young guy. And, you know, the bars close at 5 a.m. So, you know, we're going to, you know, he's going to have a lot of stardom on him in a big hurry here. And we're going to see how he handles that.
Yeah, we're going to have to go through these next couple of guys fairly quickly as we're running a little lower on time right now. But another guy showing up right now who's responsible for every single Rams touchdown on the year so far, Laurent Robinson.
Yeah, another guy who probably won't see him on the list again for this year.
Granted,
but
it's only one touchdown, but it's all of them.
Yeah, it is one touchdown. And you know, the Rams are going to get better as the season goes on here. And they are scuffling, but, you know, they had their opportunities against Washington. And the main reason they did so badly against, you know, Washington last week was, you know, Donnie Avery really blew the game for them, fumbling the ball about on the Washington nine-yard line. With his one catch, and then Steven Jackson had a big 62-yard run, and right as Jackson's veering out of bounds, Avery pushes the defender in the back, and gets a play called back because of a ridiculous, you know, block in the back call. Say that five times fast. So I think that Avery's a little bit in the doghouse. I mean, Bulger's still going to go to him, but Laurent Robinson looks like a red zone target, and you know, he is getting all the majority of the targets there in St. Louis. So he had a lot of the talent coming out of, I believe it was the Eastern Illinois, and I was surprised the Falcons let go of him.
All right, and in Chicago, Johnny Knox had some issues in last week with some communication with Jay Cutler that kind of led to some of the interceptions. You still think he is going to be productive?
Well, that was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago in his very first game against Green Bay, and in a big spot. You know, he just didn't finish his routes. He didn't have communication. He didn't break off some stuff, and he kind of thought he was going to go for the home run, and Jay Cutler's putting the ball where he thinks that Knox is supposed to be if he's a professional NFL wide receiver. Knox just wasn't, you know, but Knox learned. You know, when they looked at the film, he got coached up by Ron Turner there, and he learned. And this last week, he was basically, for all practical purposes, Cutler's go-to receiver, especially on the tying touchdown, which was a nice little slant from about the 6-7 yard line. Knox just busted inside on him, and Cutler put it right on his number. So, and the thing about Knox is you put the ball in his hands and he can go 80 yards in a blink of an eye. So Knox has a lot of talent. He's the kind of guy that you go, well, am I going to be able to actually pick this guy and put him, invest him in my starting lineup? And I know for me, I would have a hard time doing that yet, almost with any Chicago player, to tell you the truth, because I'm just, except, you know, maybe Matt Forte and Jay Cutler, but any of the other players, it's a tough start. But Johnny Knox going forward is someone you might want to keep an eye on.
To Jacksonville, too, we got Mike Sims-Walker going on. Since Troy Williams is going to be out for the rest of the season with that labrum injury, it looks like he probably will be the number two guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sims-Walker, well, Mike Walker, I don't know what this, you know, great. But they got Sims-Walker and Jones-Drew. But a good matchup this week against Houston. Last week when Jacksonville was, you know, basically in garbage time against Arizona, down 31-3, it was Sims-Walker that Gerard started going to and started getting production. And, you know, Arizona's defense probably fell half asleep. They thought the game was over. So it's hard to get a real good read from that. But last year against Pittsburgh, Sims-Walker had a big game. So you know he's capable of it. It's just a matter of if he can stay healthy. And if you read our magazine, the Pro Forecast, it was Maurice Jones-Drew in there saying that if there was one player that was going to break out this season for the Jacksonville offense, it was going to be Mike Sims-Walker.
And Bobby Wade in Kansas City expected to start turning things up too. Talk about that.
Well, the Bobby Wade signing is a, you know, everybody wanted Bobby Wade. Minnesota, you know, was devastated by, you know, in the clubhouse. I mean, everybody basically had a funeral when Bobby Wade was cut, and they were very upset about it. Bobby Wade's a great clubhouse guy, great special teams player, always in the right place on the field, and he gets signed by Kansas City, and he's going to be basically playing the Anquan Boldin position in Todd Haley's offense. So last week, he leads the team in targets, receptions, and yards. He has 6 catches, about 75 yards, and so I don't see any reason that they're not going to keep going to Bobby Wade. He's someone that Matt Castle can rely on, as opposed to someone like Mark Bradley, who's out there freelancing and doesn't fight for the extra yard. And I think that for Todd Haley and his temperament, that Bobby Wade is going to be a perfect fit.
All right. Finally, two, one of the players you think will be here this week, but not anymore, Julian Edelman out of New England as well.
Yeah, Julian Edelman is, you know, it's all up to Wes Welker. And again, Wes Welker didn't practice again today, so it's not looking great for him. He practiced all last week and got held out kind of as a last-minute thing on Sunday morning. And Julian Edelman had led the NFL last week in targets with 16 and, you know, had 8 catches for 91 yards. And so, wow, that's great PPR numbers. There's no reason that if Welker isn't in there again, that he won't be able to put up those same numbers against Atlanta. And the neat thing about Edelman is if you are in a PPR league that starts 2 quarterbacks, that Edelman in most leagues qualifies as a quarterback because he came out of Kent State as a quarterback. And so that's kind of an interesting twist on him as a position player. And if you can slide him in there, and if you can put together another 17-point day, that's not too bad from any player, your wide receiver or a quarterback.
All right, Michael. I wanted to talk a little bit about tight ends too. And right now, there are so many, as you say, on the waiver, so many tight ends out there producing at a high level. You're probably not really scouring the waivers. But who are you seeing out there who's just exceeding all expectations?
Well, I think the one situation that is somewhat to mind here is in Chicago right now, where Kellen Davis is getting a chance to fill in for Desmond Clark. And so he had a big game last week, but you have to wonder that, they're taking away Greg Olsen out of that offense. And so you have to think that possibly Kellen Davis is finding some space on the field, and that Jay Cutler is finding him. And so last week he had a touchdown. He had about 50 yards in receptions, 50, 60 yards in receptions. So that's kind of the one story that kind of came out of last week, is what's going on with Greg Olsen in Chicago. And Jay Cutler came out today and said, hey, don't worry about Greg Olsen. I expect him to have a 10-catch day any day now. So as you said, all the tight ends right now are producing. There's, from Brent Celek, even Todd Heap, his one catch with a touchdown last week.
Tony Gonzalez. I mean, pretty much everybody out there has had some success at this point.
Yeah, well, the biggest disappointment last week, just to wrap up on the tight ends, was Zach Miller, because obviously defenses are going to start really concentrating on stopping Zach Miller in Oakland, because there's really no one else there that can even hurt them, and he had zero catches last week. And so that's a situation that you're going to have to keep an eye on if you're a Zach Miller owner.
All right. So finally, I want to go ahead and touch on the defensive special teams matchup of the week. As I see, you like Denver here. They'll be at home to Oakland. No, I'm sorry. Oakland's hosting them. So you don't expect them to have that big of a day?
I don't expect Oakland to ever have a big day, to tell you the truth. But what was Jamarcus Russell, 7-for-24 last week? He set a record. He became the first quarterback in NFL history to complete less than 30% of his passes and win a game.
That's not a record you want to have.
So Denver's defense is looking really good right now. And they got Mike Nolan in there to come in there and implement a 3-4 defense. They brought Andre Davis over from Cleveland to play that Patrick Willis kind of spot. They moved Elvis Dumervil off the line and got him up and playing an outside linebacker position. He had 4 sacks last week. I really, against Brady Quinn, but Oakland's offensive line will be missing Robert Gallery, so that's going to be huge. And I think there's a lot of opportunity. And again, the one thing about Oakland is they don't throw the ball too much. It's a lot of runs. So you're not going to look at probably a whole lot of interceptions, probably not a whole lot of turnovers. You'll probably be a couple, one or two here or there. But if you're in a points against bonus where you get maybe 7 points for less than 6 points allowed or something like that, that Denver is a pretty good defense. And the way they're playing right now, they're also going to get Kansas City, obviously, twice, and so Oakland again. And so the Denver defense, the way they are playing right now, is really outstanding. And they're definitely a buy low candidate. They're a sleeper defense right now, for sure.
Well, yeah, as of right now, Denver's only allowed one offensive touchdown the entire season, and Oakland, well, they haven't scored very many. So, like you said, they probably won't be going to the air too much, so chances of big defenses like that will be few and far between. However, if you're talking about holding them to a low scoring, they're probably your matchup. What's your favorite matchup of the weekend?
As far as what game on tap?
As far as the game you want to watch, yeah, just a good game from this weekend that you think is going to be entertaining, high scoring, interesting to watch.
Okay. Arizona-Indianapolis will be probably pretty entertaining. That should be that's going to be the Sunday night game, and that's going to be definitely an interesting game as far as from a fantasy standpoint. Indianapolis, the number one pass defense in the league, so they're only allowing 139 yards a game passing, and that's because their run defense is so bad that everybody wants to run the ball against them. They're allowing 176.5 yards on the ground. So good week to start Tim Hightower. If you're on the fence at all with him, anytime you have a chance to start a running back against Indianapolis, it's good. Anytime you're starting your passing game against them, it's always a little bit sketchy, though Ted Ginn, 11 catches last week against them. So that should be one of the best games you know, of the week as far as that goes. But as far as, you know, two real leading teams, I think it's going to be a pretty interesting game, Atlanta going to New England. I think that should be a very interesting test for Matt Ryan and company, and seeing how they're able to hold up against Michael Turner without Jared Mayo there. That New England defense is suffering.
Very good. Well, the website's footballdiehards.com. Michael Jones puts out the waiver wire each and every Wednesday. Be sure to check it out. We'll be back again on Friday with Bob Harris, senior editor, to talk about all of the games going on this weekend. Until next week, this has been the footballdiehards.com podcast.